Coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Good morning and welcome to the Prep Sports Report. The Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by our good friends at Alpha, and we are coming to you live from the Eastern Shore Toyota and Hyundai Studios, located right here in the heart of Mobile, Alabama today. You know, Mark, first of all, good morning.
Good morning.
I hope you're doing well, pal. Mark Lasseter is going to celebrate a birthday with your mom this weekend, right?
Yeah, we were. Mom's had a little health issue.
Okay.
Kind of gotten backtracked, so we're kind of postponed it for a little bit.
We're going to postpone it for a while. That's okay. Yeah. That's all right. So we're going to start the Legend Series this morning, Mark, and I think one of the neat things about this is we've had so many great, great coaches come through our area, and some of them move on and take better jobs and do what else but start the Legend Series off this summer. We're going to start off with a guy that I have the utmost respect for, and he's going to be brought to you by Clay Cleveland at Century 21 over in Cumming, Georgia. You can reach him at 404-665-7717. If anybody's moving to that area, that's the guy you want to call. And, man, I'm begging you to call him.
Yeah.
That's what we want him to do. But to start off our Legend Series, we're going to visit with Mike Power. Mike Power is the head baseball coach at Kings Ridge over in Alpharetta, Georgia. And Mike, welcome to PSR for, I don't know, maybe the second time. We've been doing this now for coming on 25 years this month. And but welcome and welcome back. And just wanted to catch up with you, pal.
Yeah, it's great to be with you guys. It's been a long time. I think it's been, 20 years since we talked.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Kind of bring everybody up to date on where you are now and what you're doing.
I'm at a private school in Alpharetta, Georgia, Kings Ridge Christian School. I just finished my fourth year, so I retired from public education, and I'm doing the private school thing now. It's a great job.
Yeah, so you're double dipping like Mark and I are doing, which is really wonderful. It's really
wonderful. It is.
Mike, of course, Mark, he served as the hitting coach as well as the infield coach for Team USA from 2003 to 2008, really. And you know, those teams were pretty doggone successful. Also, Mike has done some work with some major league teams, and I call it bird dogging. I don't know what else it to be called, but these guys work just about as hard as a regular scout does, and Mike may even been into some scouting at one time or another. I know he was with the Pirates and was with Minnesota, and boy, just a tremendous, tremendous baseball coach. And so, Mike, talk a little bit about your journey and how you ended up at Kings Ridge.
Well, I spent, 18 years in Georgia at Roswell High School and Harrison High School. And then I moved down. I was at Daphne for 4 years.
Yep.
And we had a lot of great players there and some lifelong friendships, guys I still keep in touch with all the time. And came back to Georgia for retirement purposes and finished out my years here. And then moved on to the private school, so I'm still enjoying it.
Well, that's a good thing, and I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you how Ryan's doing.
I'm sorry, who?
I'd be asking how your son's doing.
Oh, he's doing great. He's doing great. He's doing better than his dad. He graduated from Georgia Tech, and he's a software engineer, and he's a lot smarter than I am, I can promise you that.
That's funny. Pretty smart, two pretty smart guys, yeah. I can tell you that. Mike, tell us a little bit about some of the things that you did with the Pirates and with the Twins, because I really don't know exactly what it was, but I know you were heavily involved in that aspect of baseball.
Yeah, it started down in when I was down at Daphne. I got on with the Pirates. I was working for a guy named Russ Bowen, and he got out with the Pirates, and a guy named Jack Powell took over, and I helped him out for a few years, associate scouting, going to, if he couldn't get somewhere, he'd call me and tell me to go see a guy or whatnot. And then I moved back to Georgia, and Jack actually took a job with the Twins in Georgia, and he's still here. And I actually talked to him yesterday about a couple guys, and so I'm still helping him out a little bit. Nothing too intense, but I get out when they need me to.
We're talking to Mike Power, who is currently the head baseball coach at Kings Ridge High School in Alpharetta, Georgia. Of course, all the folks here on the Eastern Shore know him very well because they're ultra successful here at Daphne. Mike, talk a little bit about baseball today, because I'm afraid that we're in trouble in high school sports. I know in Georgia they've already started NIL, but talk just a little bit about the things that are going on with high school baseball in the state of Georgia, and it's really going to end up in the state of Alabama as well.
Yeah, I mean, high school baseball, I mean, it's in a great position from a talent standpoint. You know, there's great players everywhere. Guys are getting to the big leagues a lot quicker than they used to. So the talent's definitely there, but I think there's a lot of issues with kids playing too much baseball. I've never been a big proponent of fall baseball. And, you know, I think that's ruining the game. Kids never take a break. I'm big on guys doing something in the fall, playing football, you know, getting mentally tougher. You know, if you don't want to play football, do something, but put the baseball down for a couple months. And, you know, there's so much out there that you have to do this, you have to do that if you're going to get to the next level. And, you know, from a pro standpoint, it's just not accurate. It's hurting kids more than it's helping them.
You know, Mike, I see that as well. So many of these kids, they get and they play starting literally, you know, rec league balls from ball clubs in city parks and stuff are kind of going by the wayside in a lot of places. I know they've just kind of digressed over the years, and travel balls become the thing. And what I see in travel ball is, you know, a lot of good baseball. The problem is there's so much of it. Kids are doing it all the time. They never have a chance to get away from it. And by the time they reach high school or, you know, even middle school, some of them are just tired of playing. Do you see that as part of a problem that we've got that's continuing to grow throughout baseball in America?
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I'm right there with you. I mean, it's really gotten ridiculous. And even the travel ball has gotten so watered down. You know, your elite travel organizations used to have one or two teams. Now it's just a money grab. There's, you know, 12 to 15 teams in each age group in every organization. And it's, you know, it's just, it's about money. And it's, you know, in my opinion, it's just not good for kids. It gets back to they're just, yeah, you're either hurt or you're burned out,
right?
You know, and, I'm not a big fan of that.
You know, Mike, I think there's a couple of things that are going on. Two main problems that I see with travel baseball. First of all, there's not enough practice as a team, and the focus on winning is far too great. And
absolutely.
And it's about the coach is who it's about. You know, the coach wants to win for him. And I mean that. I've seen that way too many times. And you look at coaches like yourself who lived and breathed baseball, and you were there for the kids and development. I don't see these travel ball teams developing players.
No, they don't. It's about the live reps. I mean, I stay in touch with my guys over the summertime, and it's literally their practice, or they practice once a week, okay, maybe twice before the tournament start. Then after that, it's all games.
Yeah.
So there's no, you know, fundamentals. There's no reps in the summertime. It's just about live at bats and going all over the place. And I'm sitting here in Atlanta, right in the middle of it, with that Lake Point and East Cobb complex.
Right.
So you know, I'm right down the road from it.
Well, the good thing about that is when your buddy calls you, you can go right down there and you can see just about every high school athlete or baseball player playing there at East Cobb or one of those facilities there, because they're there. I mean, that's just where they're playing.
They are. And, you know, every Power 5 conference in the country has their entire staff down here for that 16 and 17 U Worldwood bat.
Yep.
And, you know, but I've always been one of those guys, you know, if you can play, you can play. They're going to find you.
Right.
So, yeah, it's a different world, that's for sure.
Well, we're going to take a break here, and we're going to come right back. But we're going to take a break. We're talking to Mike Power, the head baseball coach at Kings Ridge High School over in Alpharetta, Georgia. And I'm going to tell you right now, I've been around a lot of baseball, umpired tons of college baseball. This guy knows baseball backwards and forwards, upside down, and we're going to enjoy spending another couple of minutes with him talking about high school baseball and where we're going with it.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. This segment presented by Green and Phillips Attorneys at Law. Now, back to the show.
We always got to come back with Steely Dan. Boss Gags or Steely Dan, somebody go on this show.
It is. This is
your big day. All right, we're talking to Mike Power and talking high school baseball. Of course, Mike is the head baseball coach at Kings Ridge over in Alpharetta, Georgia. Spent lots of years in Georgia and a few years here in Alabama, but did a great job for us at Daphne High School. You know, Mike, one of the things that I see changing, and I see it changing, you know, you see it from the pro level coming on down, and I'm assuming it'll just keep on coming down, and now it's in college baseball, is the pitch clock. How do you feel about a pitch clock, and is that a positive, is that a negative, or is it just – does it just speed the game up?
I'm sort of indifferent with it. I don't think it's had a huge effect on it. I think they've changed some other rules that have affected the game. But as far as the pitch clock, you know, most of those guys, they're right around that time anyway.
Right. What are the game? What are the rules that you feel like have changed the game? It's like in Major League Baseball now, they go into extra innings, they put a runner on second. I don't know if that'll ever happen in high school, but what other rules have been changed that have affected high school baseball?
Well, getting back to the point you just made at the major league level, if they put that in at the high school level, I'm not a big fan of that runner at second base, right? It's awfully difficult to get two hits off the back end of a bullpen.
Yeah.
You can get one. So it's totally, totally changed the game. And then, you know, picking off, you can only go to first base three times. That changes everything on that third attempt. So those are two rules that I think have hurt the game that I don't like. But, you know, they're always trying to speed the game up. And I always said, if you don't enjoy the game, don't watch it.
That's a great point. You don't have to be there eating popcorn and drinking Cokes, do you? That's for sure.
No, you don't. No.
That's a great thing about our game of baseball. If you want to watch it, you can watch it. Every night you can watch it. Yeah. You can find a baseball game on TV every night, or you can go to a park and find a game. Mike, I think one of the things that I'm concerned more about, and Clay's involved in travel ball this summer for the first time. He feels like that, and I agree with him. I've watched their, I guess it's their rec league team or whatever it is play, and it's just not very competitive. And I don't think you get better by playing with people that are just out there to have fun. And when you've got a 10, 11, 12-year-old child, you want him to start getting better at a certain point. So it bothers me that our local leagues are not as competitive as they once were. And I've seen how it is in Cumming, and this show's not heard in Cumming except on the internet, and we do have two people from Atlanta that do listen to us that are coaches over in that area. But I don't know the answer to that, Mike. The only answer I have is to put Turner in travel ball and see if he can develop a little better.
Yeah, I mean, the better players you play with, and you know, the better pitching you see every day, I mean, you're going to get better. It's just, you know, you got to find that happy medium with, like I said earlier, a lot of the elite leagues, that gets watered down too by the number of teams.
That's true.
So it's tough.
That is true. As we go forward, travel baseball, should there be a limit on how many pitches? We got that limit in high school baseball. I don't know if travel baseball is limiting pitchers on how many pitches they can throw in any given day. how are you with your pitchers at Kings Ridge? How do you what do you do to determine pitch count?
Well, obviously, you know, the high school association and the orthopedic board, they have pitch counts in place. We rarely get to those pitch count limits. My guys start off real slow, maybe, you know, 30, 40 pitches, and we build up. I don't have a problem with a guy throwing 100 pitches later in the season. The problem I get is they don't take a couple months off, and they don't get enough rest between starts, right? So kid throws 50 pitches on Monday, and he throws, you know, 50 more on Thursday. Okay, that's a problem to me, as opposed to throwing 100 pitches once a week and getting the proper rest.
So
you got to build up to it.
Yeah. So with your pitchers during the summer, what is your regimen with that? What's your regimentation as far as what you want your pitchers to do during the summer as far as throwing?
Yeah, well, the biggest thing I try to do with them is, you know, since I'm not coaching in summer, try to, you know, tell them to make sure they try to stay on a plan. And a lot of times that summer coach, you know, he's not going to tell you, you know, hey, don't pick up a ball today. You know, you're going to play light catch the next day. Then you got a bullpen. Whatever that routine is, if those kids don't follow it themselves and implement that themselves in the summertime, they may not get it. You know, no one's going to tell them to go run after the game.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. That's
you
exactly
know?
Right.
You know.
Well, Mike, what do you foresee in the future for high school baseball as far as how NIL and how now? I mean, we've got it in Alabama. People are transferring. The transfer rule is, I mean, we got people transferring all over the place. And being in a private school, I know you have rules that you have to follow too. But what do you see with NIL as we go forward? And I know you've already got it to a certain extent in Georgia.
Yeah, I don't really, from a baseball standpoint, I don't really see it, you know, being an issue because, you know, it's sort of a non-revenue sport now. Football-wise, you know, that's a different animal. If you got one of the best players in the country and, you know, they probably will get some money. These guys jump in schools all the time and stuff. It's, you know, it's just funneled right down to college, right?
Right.
If I can't win a job and I'm not happy and I'm not playing, I'll just put myself in the portal. You know, that's exactly why Nick Saban got out, you know, and it's funneled it all the way down, and we're not in a good place right now with that.
You know, I was talking to a high school football coach in Georgia, not far from you, as a matter of fact, and we were talking, and he said, I've lost two players this week. I've lost two players because they don't feel like that they're going to be able to start for us, but they can go somewhere else, and they're going to start for them. There's no development there. You know, you just don't develop that way, I don't believe.
No, I agree with you. You know, you don't develop and you don't ever learn to fight through any adversity because you're always, you know, you're always running away from things instead of staying there and competing and trying to win a job and get better.
Talk about your players, Mike. Have you got any players that you feel like are Division I players and have an opportunity to maybe go to the next level? Real quick, we got a minute.
Okay. Yeah, all four of my seniors signed this year. I've got some really, really good young players. Definitely got two or three kids that will be draftable in the next few years. Nick Marquez, this kid led our team at hitting this year as a ninth grader. He's going to be a really good player.
Right.
And I got three or four other kids who can really play too. I think I got the second-ranked catcher in the state of Georgia. He's going to be a really good player. So we've got some good guys. We've got some good young guys right now.
You know, I saw Marquez one day. Clay was out, I think, throwing to him, pitching to him one day, and I happened to be over there at that time. God, boy, he's got a pretty swing, I'm telling you. He's made to be a good player. He is that.
Yeah, he is, and he's an even better kid.
That's exactly what I've heard. Well, Mike, thank you for taking some time out of your afternoon to speak to us, and we want to keep up with you. I know Clay keeps me posted on you, but it's always good talking to you. God bless, and we'll talk to you down the road, pal.
Okay, thanks for having me, guys.
Take care. Mike Power, head baseball coach at Kings Ridge over in Alpharetta, Georgia. And that kicks off our Legend Series, Mark.
Yep, it's going to be a good summer.
We'll be right back with more Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. The Pops Market communication lines are open at 251-343-0106. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lasseter.
Turning face the stars and stripes, it's fighting back them butterflies, it's calling in the air around. Yes, sir, we want the ball. And it's knocking heads and talking trash, it's slinging mud and dirt and grass.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, and there's no better person to introduce Phil Lazenby than Kenny Chesney and the Boys of Fall. Coach Lazenby, good afternoon, yes. and thank you for taking some time out with your retired wife now, who I'm sure
retired.
She's... Retired? That's what I heard. I heard that Miss Tara was retiring.
I'm retarded.
No. No, not you. Your beautiful wife has retired.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, now, yeah, she's retiring, but hey, she's going to work for a financial company, and... I think she's going to enjoy it. You know, she went 34 years. In public school.
And yeah.
Yep.
So that's, I mean, not public. You know, she was UMS.
Yeah.
A mixture of both. But
yep.
She enjoyed teaching and everything. But I think she just said it was a time for her to, you know, do something else.
Well, her husband will do very well, giving her great examples of how some of us don't know how to do stuff like TIAA. But you're an expert at it. I'm telling you.
Yes, he is.
I'm telling you. So maybe y'all can have some good dinner time talks about that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, anytime you need a little information, just give me a call.
I know that. But Pat Galley and I have had many conversations about that and your expertise.
I bet you he's rolled up some coins, don't you think?
I'm not going to comment on that. I'll tell you where those coins might be.
I know one thing. Whew, he's been cut. I went over there and missed you. I am so sorry.
Nah.
The circumstances, but, you know, I love you. And I'm sorry that I didn't get to see you, but, you know, you... You deserve, you know, the recognition, and there's a lot of people there at UMS that love you a lot.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, and thank you for coming over, and I know it was good for a lot of people to see you because you are loved there too. I want to talk about Bayshore football, and I'm going to throw Mark in here in just a minute too, but I want to talk about Bayshore because, you know, I was looking at your schedule, and – you know, it's, I mean, you got a full schedule this year. And it's, I mean, it's been quick. So talk just a little bit about this football team because I'm excited.
Well, they're, you know, mostly, you know, going to be younger kids.
Yeah.
I've got about, I only have five seniors on the team. And, no, four seniors on the team. And they're going to be young, and I've got a couple of, you know, kids that are, you know, good athletes that you know, could play at other schools. But it's, you know, when you've only got, you know, 82 or 83 boys to pick from the entire high school.
And, yeah.
You know, you're not really going to find a lot. And that's the biggest difference. It's not the fact that some of the kids can't play. It's the fact that you don't have enough. And, you know, there's going to be weak spots, you know, everywhere. So, but they're good kids, they're great kids, wonderful children, young men, very nice. I'm excited about, you know, trying to get them ready to, you know, play their first real, you know, football season.
Yep.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun, Phil. You know, watching what you guys did last year as y'all got started. You played some JV games and middle school games, and the kids are really excited about playing. And I know that you've been working in an off-season weight training program. It's really been big for you. Tell us a little bit about your weight program you've been doing this off-season and what you got coming up this summer.
Okay, we did. We, you know, I didn't always have a lot of kids because everybody plays, most everybody plays two or even more sports because – if we didn't, we wouldn't have some of these sports because we wouldn't have enough people. But, right. you know, we've got so many, you know, and for a small school, I mean, we've got it from football to bowling and, you know, yeah. everything. And so we've got a lot of kids in a lot of different sports. And, but we've got, like I said, we averaged maybe, you know, probably 14 to 15 kids in the weight room who weren't either in basketball or wrestling, and then baseball and track and cross country, every, you name it, we've got it. So, but, you know, we've got some kids that work hard. And, you know, if I were to tell you some of the things, you would think I was lying. You know, I've got a kid that parallel squats 455.
Great.
I mean, that's
the goodness.
That's as good as I ever had, or better than I ever had. I mean, I had a kid at Gunnersville. I mean, not Gunnersville, but at Benjamin Russell that could do that. But I didn't have one. It's been a while since I've had somebody that can squat like that.
Wow.
But, I mean, we've got some kids that worked hard. And like I said, it's just going to be the numbers thing. That's what's going to get us. But, you know, as far as the work habits, you know, we're not real fast. We don't have a lot of speed. And the guy that was going to be our speed guy, you know, decided not to play this year. And, I mean, I'm not judging him or anything because, you know, he got hurt, broke his leg in his first JV game. And so, you know, I think it may have scared him a little bit. And, you know, like I said, none of these guys play football.
Right.
That is a catastrophe when in his first game he breaks his leg and on his account you come back and he does a great job with your baseball team too. I mean,
he sure did.
We're talking.
He's a good kid.
Fine kid, yeah. Fine family. And you were talking to Phil Lasby, the head football coach at Bayshore. And Phil, with numbers issues, of course, everybody's playing both ways. And that, to me, the hardest thing to do in today's world, which I don't know if you've ever had this problem, is trying to divide your practices up, you know, offense and defense with that
right.
short number of players.
Yeah, no, we did some of that at Bayside. We, you know, I don't think maybe one year we were able to two platoon, and I think that was the year we went to the state championship game. But we generally had a problem there at Bayside also. We would have three or four guys going both ways. Well, now we're going to have eight to nine,
know,
going both ways. And it's going to be a little bit tougher. I know it, and they just got to be in good shape and as good a shape as they can possibly be, but it's the learning curve. You know, it's learning, you know, how to play defensive back and then learning how to run all the routes and catch the ball. So the practice, you know, Mark can tell you, the practices go a little bit longer when you have to do that.
Phil, tell us a little bit about your summer. What y'all got coming up? What are you going to be able to do with your summer guys and getting ready for the first day of fall practice?
We're going to go to a 4-day week with 2 days in the weight room and 2 days on the field for football fundamentals. And believe me, when I say fundamentals, I mean it. Okay.
Right.
I'm talking about, you know, this is your right and this is your left,
yeah.
you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, just getting down in your stance and learning what your rules are, blocking rules, you know, learning how to catch football. You know, we've got a pretty good little quarterback and, we need to be able to find some people that can run and catch the ball.
And we're talking to Phil Lasby, the head football coach at Bayshore and Bayshore Christian School. And, Phil, you know, the success of that school athletically has been phenomenal. Jeff Haig and all of y'all over there have just done an amazing job with all of those programs. It's amazing. You're in contention for state championships in several sports.
Right. Girls cross country and boys cross country is really strong there. I wish I had a couple of those kids, but they've won three or four state championships,
yeah.
and they've only been in the Alabama High School Athletic Association now for four or five years.
Right.
And, you know, two state championships in baseball.
Wow.
And the wrestling program is coming on. And hopefully the football program will, you know, come along and be able to compete at the level we're, you know, level that we're at in 2A. If you said we had to go play 3A or 4A, I would say I would not coach anymore.
Yeah, I understand that. I do.
I would just, but, you know, some of those schools, you know, the teams like Clark County, you know, they've got such a tradition.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to, I don't expect, you know, a lot of things, but I don't ever say it, but a lot of times I don't expect
right.
our kids to dominate Clark County.
Right.
I expect them to play hard and have a chance. Yeah.
We got about 45 seconds here. Now, you got great new facilities. They're coming. Where are
they're
you
coming.
You going to play your home games?
Lavanta Park. Lavanta, you know, the
yep.
where Fairhope plays. On Thursday night.
On
we've got
Thursdays.
All Thursday night.
That's
yeah, we
great.
Have to play on Thursday night.
Well, Phil, I'm excited for you. Somebody told me the other day, he said, Coach, you and Coach Lazenby had so much fun with you on those phones. Said you just you ought to just go over and volunteer. I said nah, because I'd tell Phil to throw it one time, and he'd turn around and he might say something.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
You don't throw
doing?
It. You can throw it after the first down after the 35-yard line.
Okay. But we sure had fun.
40-yard line, you throw it.
Yeah.
One time.
Phil, have a great summer. Take care. God bless you. We love you, pal.
Good talking to you, Coach.
All right, y'all take care. Love you. All
see you, bud.
Appreciate
Bye.
You. We'll be back with more right here on PSR.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. PSR is live every Saturday from 8 until 10 a.m. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark Lassiter, Rick Cleveland, Randy Bergen is working. I tell you, he's out of town. He's hard at it. We miss him. We'll see him here next week, we hope. You know, Mark, we talked a little bit of baseball with Mike Powers and a little football with Phil Lazenby. And now I want to bring in David Faulkner. David's always brought to you by Will Too, and we appreciate everything that Wes and the Williams family do for high school sports across this area, and huge supporters of McGill Toolin. And Coach, good afternoon, and thank you for taking some time out of your day to visit with us to talk high school football and where we are, and to talk about some of the issues that we got going on. But the first thing I want to do is I want to kind of talk a little bit about your plans for the summer and kind of give us a rundown of what you guys are going to be doing in June and July.
Well, you know, school's out and everybody thinks that you get this free summer, but in football you just really get started.
That's right.
So we've got a busy summer, a lot of things going on. We'll bring our kids in and start next week in the weight room and back at practicing and trying to develop our players and, you know, in their skills and their scheme aspect of it. And then towards the end of June, we'll start playing in some 7-on-7s. We got about three of those going on with going to Foley to participate in theirs in late June and then heading up to Hoover in July to play there. And then we've got some OTAs planned where we're going to practice against some other opponents. And we've got a big one over in Dothan in late July right before we start fall camp. So got a busy summer ahead of us.
You know, when you talk about OTAs, I'm going to let you explain it. I hadn't asked Mark to explain it. He could very well, but I'm going to let you explain OTAs because I have people all the time ask me during football season, Coach, what are those OTAs? I said I'm on time already. That's the only thing I need to tell them. So you explain that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a term that we stole from the NFL that is organized team activities. But really, what it is it's just you practicing against another team. It's you and another team or maybe two to three teams getting together and doing some 11-on-11 work. Sometimes we work special teams in there, and it's just the ability to practice against another team and do a really, you know, a chance to get your team playing together instead of against each other like you do in practice a lot of times.
Does that, when you get those OTAs, when y'all divided, y'all run like a regular, kind of like what you would run for your practice, you and the other coach kind of get together and set it up to where you have an offensive period, defensive period, indie periods. Kind of tell us about what an OTA, what they do in that practice time.
Well, it's just what you said. I mean, you really get together with the other coach and you kind of talk about, okay, what are the things that you want to see or you want to work on when we get together? And it's definitely, you have some individual periods in there. You have some group work like a 7-on-7 or a half scale or some things like that. And then you have some 11-on-11 competition to kind of end the day. And so it's just like you said, it's just really different components of practice that you want to work on, but you have the opportunity to do it against an opponent.
You know, one thing, David, I've found in those OTAs is that I really like watching other coaches from other schools coach their guys and my guys too. You know, you hear what they're saying, what they're doing, how they're coaching up, and you really learn some things as a coach from hearing other coaches while they're doing what they do naturally. It's not playing out. They're really in there coaching. Do you guys learn a lot from one another?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, football is a game of honor, but it's also a game of thieves. And I think a lot of us steal and borrow from where we've been practicing against other teams and they do something or they coach it a certain way or use a certain terminology. You're like, man, that's really good. I think I'm gonna start using that. So, we definitely learn from each other.
Hey, we're gonna savor that comment because I can tell you every head football coach and most coordinators, as you well know, steal stuff from each other all the time. And a lot of times it's honorable because we'll just call them and ask them. And they'll say, well, this is what we do. Just don't do it against us.
What's that say, honor amongst thieves?
Yeah. Yeah. You're exactly right. If I went out there and coached on the things that I invented and created, it'd be very little. It'd be very limited. It'd be about three plays, so if that many. So it is definitely a game to where we don't just coach the kids, but we get an opportunity to coach each other and help each other out. And that's one of the real joys of the coaching profession.
Well, now, Mark Lassiter would tell you that you're not telling the truth on that. He called you the most innovative offensive guy he's ever been around.
I know one thing. He could run an option better than anybody I know, and he would always make this statement, it's a good play if there's a trail of carnage behind the ball.
I love that.
Yeah, if you got a good, nice trail of carnage, then you know you're well.
That's right. That's right.
And the beauty in the game is in the offensive line play. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Can you highlight that? That's exactly right. That's where you win, lose, or draw. That's exactly where it happens. So, and you guys, both of you guys, know that as well as anybody. We're going to take a break here real quick, but we're going to come back and want to talk a little bit about some of your players. I know you kick it off against Kenny and those guys on the 23rd of August, but I want to talk about some of those players that you got coming back because we're all about building players and coaches and officials up, but I want to talk a little bit about some of those players when we come back. And I also want to talk a little bit about some newcomers that are going to be in your region, which I think is the toughest region in 6A that there is, bar none, David. I think that there's none tougher. And you can go 7A, you can go wherever you want to go, but 6A Region 1 is a gorilla. It is a gorilla. So we'll talk a little bit about that when we come back with David Faulkner. Let me tell you something, folks. Mark's not by himself. When you talk about people that are innovative offensively, now this guy's as good as it gets. And you young coaches out there, you want somebody to go talk to about offense, you need to call David Faulkner because I can promise you he can light your light. I can promise you he can turn it on. We'll be right back on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
Coming to you live, the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, presented by Alpha. Here's your host, Randy Bergen, with Coach Rick Cleveland and Coach Mark Lassiter.
You know, I'm reading the book about the Doobie Brothers and their success. And that's an interesting, interesting life that those guys led. And their music is just phenomenal. It's not Randy Bergen. Wish I could hit a golf ball like he hits it, but it's not him today.
No.
He's on job. But I do want to tell you, if you have a fender bender, I talked to my sister this morning right outside of Myrtle Beach. She had a wreck yesterday. Boy, she's her first wreck she's ever had. And I said, well, Jan, if you'll bring it down here, if you'll get it to us, we'll get it over to Chris, and he'll get you in and out and get you fixed up. It'll be just like a brand-new car. And she said, well, Rick, I can't get it there. I don't think it's drivable right now. So, but I tell you this, if you're in Mobile, Alabama, or anywhere on the Eastern Shore, or anywhere in Southwest Alabama, you want to call Chris Garris and the folks, because I can tell you they will take care of all of your needs at Precision. And Mark has got a great story with them. So does Randy, and so do I. But you give them a call at 251-478-4500, and they will take great care of your car. When you get it fixed, Mark, it'll be what?
Brand new.
I'm telling you.
Like you drove it off the showroom floor.
It is something special. And that's Premier Collision at 1177 Sledge Drive here in Mobile, Alabama, 251-478-4500. And tell them you heard it on PSR, just like our buddy that used to be one of the leaders of the Pritchard Fire Department told me the other day. He said, well, I heard it and wanted to give him a try, and boy, I'll be coming back anytime I have a problem. So we appreciate him. Let's get back to David Faulkner. David, you kick it off on August the 23rd with Kenny King and those the Daphne Trojans. But by August the 23rd, you'll have everything in, and you'll be ready to play, and you'll be ready to quit hitting each other, I'm sure.
We will be. But before I answer that question, let me say while I was holding there, I see that y'all got Mark DJing again with the Doobie Brothers.
There you go.
Yeah, I am. I'm really kind of enjoying this gig, too.
Yeah, you're doing a great job.
Well, thank
great
you, David. Job. I appreciate it, man.
But, no, we do. We open with Coach King and the Daphne Trojans, which is, you know, I always put out a very good football team and a very talented football team. And I like what you said. You know, when you have a quality opponent in week one, you have to really kind of speed yourself up in the summer to be ready to play well right out the gate. And that won't be any different when we go over to Daphne on August 23rd.
Talk about your staff now before we get to the players. Is your staff pretty much the same as it was last year? You got new additions. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, we do. We got the same crew back. We didn't lose any guys. You know, on the defensive side, Tracy Buckhannon returns as our defensive coordinator, a quality football coach and a quality man. And we're excited to have Tracy as part of our staff and really look forward to the improvement of our defense in year two under Tracy. And, you know, in there with him is Ashley Johnson. She returns as a linebacker coach. And Ashley has been a coach in the area for a long time and has been a head coach in the area and brings a lot of experience to the job. And, you know, I think our linebackers really improved this spring under his tutelage. And then we just start adding in a bunch of young guys after that with Donnie Brady, who's a former McGill Tulane Yellow Jacket, who does a great job with our defensive line. And we added Andrew Crenshaw to the staff, who's going to do the safeties. Andrew's been is from Georgia originally, coached at Colquitt with Tracy for a while, but is coming to us now from Jackson Prep over in Jackson, Mississippi, and brings a lot of energy and a lot of great innovative ideas to the table, so we're excited about him. And then Waylon Lewis also returns, coaching our corner, so we're excited about our group on defense, and we're excited about our coaches on defense, and we've got a solid group over there. And then offensively, you know, we're returning the same crew there with Jeff Williams heading up the offensive line. And Jeff's been a veteran coach and kind of my sounding board and kind of my voice of reason sometimes, and really helps me out there from an assistant head coach aspect as well. And then we got two young wide receiver coaches who I think are going to be big-time coaches before their career is over with Connor Collier and Tripp Cobb. And Tripp is a former Yellow Jacket as well and played there in the 2010. So I think he graduated around 2014 or so, somewhere in there. And then Connor Collier is Eric Collier's nephew, and Connor's got a bright future in the game. He got a lot of wisdom for a guy his age and does a great job in attention to detail and technique. And then Nick Anderson returns as our running back coach and special teams coordinator, and Nick's another one of those young, fabulous coaches that's going to be a head coach one day. And I'm just excited about having him on our staff and some of the advantages he gives us in the kicking game. And then we added Mike Doriot, who was at St. Luke's with Ron Lee for I think about 9 years. And he came over and joined the staff, and he'll coach our tight ends. And we're excited about having Mike as part of our staff as well.
You know, David, that's, when you have your staff and you can bring them back together, it gives some real continuity to your players. And you got a pretty good crew of kids that come to work out with you guys in the spring and in the summer. Tell us a little bit about the kids you got coming back from last year's team that'll be kind of leading y'all into the summer.
Well, you know, I'll start on offense. We lost 8 starters on offense. I don't think a lot of people really realize that, but we lost a tremendous amount of experience over there. But the one thing we do return is we return our quarterback, Andrew Murchison, who had played really well down the stretch last year. I hated that the season ended for us when we did, because he had really started playing outstandingly well in the last month of the season, and then he carried that right into spring. And I don't know if you got a chance to see our spring game, but he was he played exceptionally well over at South in our spring game, and just really looking forward to the year he has. And then we return our 2 little running backs. Well, they're not little anymore. I think they both picked up about 15 to 20 pounds each in the offseason just through their dedication in the weight room. And Ladarian Miller, who will be a sophomore. Ladarian's up to about 6 foot, about 185 right now. And he had a tremendous year last year, rushing for about 900 yards as a ninth grader. And as Rick stated earlier, in our league, that's no small task.
That's right.
It's a very tough league. And then Jack Linehan also returns, and Jack will be a junior. And Jack ran for about 600 yards last year, and is really a dynamic player that can also play out in the slot. So we're excited about those two guys and what they bring to the table. And I kind of count them as one starter because they split time back there last year. But we're gonna find some ways to get them out there together this fall and have them out there at the same time. And then we return Roman Tran as our lone offensive line starter. And Roman's really our leader, and he's one of the great leaders on our team. So we're excited to have him and the leadership he brings.
Well, if you've only got one starter on the offensive line, you couldn't have a better coach coaching them than Jeff Williams. I can tell you that. That's
No doubt. Jeff does a phenomenal job for us.
That's a prize. I can tell you that's a big prize to have. You know, let me ask you this, David, and we're only going to keep you this segment, and we're going to talk about some of those other issues as we get through the summer, because we want to have you on here as much as we can. But do running backs, and I saw a couple of high schools that are doing this, do you let your running backs sub each other out, or do you as coaches do that?
Sometimes we put them on a play rotation.
Okay.
Where they do keep up with that, and then other times we control that. I would say probably most of the time we're in control of that when it subs out, but there are times where we're telling them, hey, they're free roll, and they can roll themselves in and out.
That's kind of neat. When you have enough trust in your players that they're able to do exactly what you want them to do when they want them to do it, when it comes to substitution, that's kind of a change to me. It really is, and I kind of like that. I do.
Well, back when you and I played, there wasn't no free roll. They probably had one of us. And
yeah, that's true. That's true. I would never have done that with Tom Calvin, I can promise you. David, thank you so much for visiting with us today. We want to spend a lot of time with you this summer just talking about your football program and talk about some issues in high school football. And we'll do that on the next go-around, pal.
All right, next time around, we'll talk about our defense a little bit.
There you go.
There you go.
Appreciate you guys. I appreciate you guys having us on, and I appreciate what you do for high school football in the Mobile area and really across the state.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate you.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Call or text the Prep Sports Report at 251-343-0106 on the Pops Market communication lines. Now, back to the show.
All right, welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report. Mark, you know, as we go through the spring, we try to get as many of these really good teams in here as we can. And one of the teams that didn't surprise you, I know, surprised me a little bit, was Chris Doggett's team up at Jackson. Their golf team had a great year.
Man, they did have a great year, and they're so much fun to be with. And I'm so glad we're able to get Chris on here. He's become one of my favorite people to see just about every week, I think, Chris. But Chris, welcome to the show, buddy. We're glad to have you on with us.
Thank you so much, Mark. I appreciate it. Glad to be here.
Well, we wanted to talk to you guys. You know, Jackson, throughout history, has been known as a football school, good basketball school, played some good baseball.
Ooh.
But you don't hear much about – I never heard much about their golf team until the last couple of years. And I told – Chris and I got to talking last year a little bit about his bunch. He had a really good bunch, and they were getting better and made state last year. It was a big, big deal. They made state first. I think that was the first time ever, Chris. Is that right?
That's correct. They had never been to state before.
And so they made it, and then we got to see them again this year, and lo and behold, them some guns just keep getting better, and that's what we got them on here for. Wanted Chris kind of tell us a little bit about his Jackson Aggies, the boys 4A state runner-up in 2024, first time ever to have a map in golf, and I got a red map this year. Chris, first of all, let me just say congratulations to you and your team. But tell us a little bit about this year. It kind of clicked right around the 1st of April, if I'm not mistaken.
He did. The first part of the year was just kind of – we were just going along, not shooting very, very good scores. And about the time you guys came up and we played a match here in Jackson,
right,
the kids started getting a little better and want to play better. And your kids actually are the ones that was a driving force behind ours. Our kids, they all know each other. They play summer golf together, and they're all good friends.
Right.
And they pushed our kids. And as we got closer and closer to sectionals, we had some kids step up and start shooting some really good scores. And when we got to sectional, it just seemed like at that point, everybody was kind of clicking, and singing the same song. And we started putting some good scores out there. We were blessed. We have been blessed. These kids like each other. They compete against each other every day at the golf course up here, and they've made themselves better. And so when we got to sectionals, we had a real good tournament. First time we'd ever broken 300. We shot 297 over at Dover Country Club.
Right.
And I know your group shot 306, 305.
Something like that. Yeah.
In there. And I think, again, your group pushing us helped a lot. Then we get to sub-state, go down to Glen Lakes. We shoot another good number. And at this point, I knew the kids had kind of figured this thing out.
Yeah.
And they were playing really, really well. We get to state, and we were very fortunate. Now, I just call it just like it is. You and I were there when it was cut to 9 holes the last day.
Yeah.
The weather came in, and we were one hole away from being through. Our kids had not played extremely well that day. Your kids had played really well, but the weather caught us.
Yep.
And it ended it early, and
yep,
we were fortunate in that respect. I have nothing but the highest regard for what our kids have done. We started 3 years ago with an eighth grader and three ninth graders. And we made sub-state, made sectionals. We got through sectionals, went to sub-state, but we didn't move on that first year. But last year we moved, got to state, and it was just a bonus bar.
Yeah.
We knew we couldn't compete with you guys and some of the other teams, but the kids just got a world of knowledge from being up there and seeing the good teams and watching them play. And so that was a big thing for us, a real big thing.
Well, you know, Chris, one thing that I've noticed about your kids, and you said it a minute ago, is how much they like one another. You also said that they spend all their time up there playing golf. And tell us a little bit about that. Those guys, they come out there, some of the boys, they actually told me, and I got to know many of them so well, they would say, you know, Coach, we get up here in the morning, play 18 holes, eat lunch, jump in the pool and swim, and then come back and play 18 more in the afternoon. So that's kind of how they do it.
That's it. And they did it today. I was at the golf course when Sarah ran me down and told me that you wanted to call and talk tonight. But the kids were at the golf course this afternoon. I mean, they just play golf all the time.
Yeah.
And they love the game. It's something they can play year-round. And I think I told you, Mark, we had two baseball players that had played baseball up until the start of this year. And they were so convinced that we could make our golf team, or our golf team could be good enough to get to state again, that they quit playing baseball and committed themselves to playing golf.
Man.
And that is a little bit unusual up here. I mean, y'all know this is in Jackson, football, baseball, basketball. And to have those kids commit to our team and stop playing the baseball and come to us and play golf the whole time, it just showed how much they wanted this.
That's right. We're talking with Chris Doggett from Jackson High School, Jackson Aggies golf coach. And, Chris, tell us, we got about a minute and 45 seconds to go in this segment. And tell us a little bit about your team coming up, you know, next year.
Right.
Kind of come, you get a really good bunch coming back. 4A's gotten loaded up. Tell us a little bit about your team and what the prospects look like.
Next year we'll have three seniors coming in and one junior. And then our fifth spot, I believe, will be filled by a senior.
Gotcha.
We've worked with – last year he played in our fifth spot. This year we had two seniors that stepped in, and we alternated back and forth. Cooper Garris, Grayson Beck, Brady Carr will be our seniors next year. Jack Doggett will be a junior, and then Julian Jones, it looks like, will be our fifth player next year.
Gotcha.
And we look for them to be improved. I mean, we really do. They're all playing these summer tours this year, and the competitive golf, I think, just makes them better.
I agree.
Your team, Bayside, made us better. There's no question. I cannot ever thank you enough for coming up here and playing us and helping us get better.
Well, buddy, we just want you to know how proud we are of you guys and how proud we are of you, Chris, and what you mean to that bunch of kids and that school. And we just hope that this summer I get to run into you some this summer, and maybe we can get you back on again with us real soon.
Good deal, Mark. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, pal.
That's Chris Doggett, the golf coach at Jackson High School. Runner-up.
Big runner-up, 4A. Yeah, first time ever.
Great job, Chris. Congratulations. We'll be back more. Well, we'll be back in a little bit. More.
In a more.
With Thompson Tractor Press Sports Report right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back to the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report, brought to you by Alpha Insurance. Now, back to your host, Randy Bergen.
business in the streets. I know Steve looks over at us and says, guys, we're ready to go. And this is Boss Skaggs. That's an old Midwestern guy over there. Those guys, you know, Boss Skaggs is untouchable. I'm not going to interrupt him, I promise. You know, we love the leadership segment, and so many of you have made so many positive comments about it, and we certainly appreciate it. We appreciate 68 Ventures and Brad Israel and Nathan Cox and those guys and everything that they do. And, you know, one of their subsidiaries is Go Pest. And at Go Pest, we do our best to ensure our clients' comfort in their homes. We take pride in providing fast and effective pest control services at affordable prices and work tirelessly to earn our reputation for service and quality. And they certainly have made themselves a very reputable company here on the Eastern Shore of Alabama, and we certainly do appreciate them. One of the things that Nathan has shared with us is some things about specifically being a leader. And make sure, as a leader, you're doing a good job listening to those around you prior to expressing your own viewpoint. The last thing you want to do is discourage others from sharing, because they either feel as if your answer is always the right one, or they will be written off in the future for suggesting something that may end up being less than a fantastic concept. And this happens all the time in coaching staff meetings, regardless of the sport, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, golf, doesn't matter. Because one of the things as a head coach that I learned early on from a guy named Harry Wayne Parrish at Northview in Dothan, and learned it even better from Terry Curtis and Steve Savarese, was that there are no bad suggestions. You know, you throw them out there, and we can put some things together, and we'll come up with the best answer. It's the job of the leader, the head coach, to make the decision in which way you're going to go. In business, same thing. You know, if you in law firms, you got partners, and you know, whoever is the leader in that law firm, they're going to make the decision which way to go. And so, you know, appreciate this this bad ideas turned good from Nathan, and it's something that's really special to me. So you're in a creative meeting, and the first thing the organizer says is there are no bad ideas. You sit there and you're looking at everyone in the meeting. And you think to yourself, yeah, right. You ever thought about trying to run a flea flicker or something and bring it to the head coach's attention? And you look at him and you say, I like this play. And he goes on to the next idea. Been there and done that. We all have. So, you know, the great thing is that the leader listens to you and then maybe discards it, or the head coach does. But sometimes down the road, you might want to put that in. So, you know, you've planted a seed there anyway. It's the same way in business. It's natural to want that first idea to be the idea that works. It's quicker. It makes you feel good. And you can get right to the business of executing that idea. But that's not the norm. While the world's greatest innovators are remembered for their successes, they had to go through many failed attempts to get to the one that worked. Many ideas were put to the test, sometimes several at one time. If they were lucky, their ideas, well, was one idea that worked. And if they didn't succeed, they had to go back to the drawing board and start creating and testing more ideas. One of the books that Nathan has shared with us is by Franz Johansson. It's called The Medici Effect, Breakthrough Insights at the Intersection of Ideas, Concepts, and Cultures. It's a pretty good title. The strongest correlation for quality of ideas is, in fact, quantity of ideas. The more, the merrier. The more ideas we have, the more likely we will discover quality ideas that can be tested and implemented. Studies have been conducted that support this assertion. You know, when we're encouraged to develop lots of ideas, good, bad, or mediocre, it's easier to let the creativity flow. There are many strategies out there for creating ideas. One exercise that many businesses use in a collaborative strategy session is showing clients a positive headline about their company 3 or 4 years into the future, what we're predicting our company to be down the road. I lost my place. One of the things we asked them to discuss what things had to have happened to make that headline a reality. Then we show them a negative headline and ask them to do the same thing. Just imagining these two extremes can focus teams on the right strategies, and before you know it, you're jamming on ideas for executing these strategies. Jamming is a core value at many companies. It brings a group together to brainstorm and build off each other's ideas. Same thing we do in coaching. Much like a band does when jamming to create a new song. Someone plays a few chords, someone else builds on that with their own chords, and before you know it, a song is taking shape. It might not be the number one chart topper right out of the gate, but it could very well be the foundation of one. It's all about exploring. Bad ideas are an integral part of the process. Sometimes you might discover the new world. Other times you may land in a swamp. Maybe you come up with an idea that could never be executed. It's just too unrealistic, too out there. Try taking a deeper look and figure out why it's not possible. Can it be fixed? Can parts of it be combined with another idea? Some of the best ideas are a Frankenstein-type creation. Pieces of different ideas that couldn't stand on their own, but when put together, they make something that works and is entirely unique. Many successful startups and many successful first-year coaches seem like a really bad idea at first. Airbnb began with three guys buying air mattresses, placing them on the living room floor in their San Francisco lot and renting them out to guests to help pay the rent. That's pretty unique there. As odd as it may sound, to rent an air mattress in a stranger's apartment, they actually had a few bites. After some failures and reinventing themselves into a massive online vacation rental business, Airbnb is now worth $38 billion and really started the IPO process to take the company public. So the next time you're in a brainstorm session, whether it's a coaching clinic or whether it's a coaching staff meeting, or whether you're a group of attorneys sitting around trying to decide which way you want to go in your deliberations, keep an open mind. Accept that bad ideas are usually not all bad. They are part of the creative process. There may be parts of an idea you can use, or maybe it just needs a little help to become a good one. When you limit yourselves to good ideas, it's more likely you'll subconsciously recycle ideas or parts of ideas you've used before. Take a cue from Apple's headline. Think different. Be bold. Don't let the fear of a bad idea stop you from exploring. That's really exactly what we do in coaching.
Exactly what we do.
That's exactly where we go. Because, you know, and you know who, not the, I don't want to say the worst at this, worst at bad ideas, but when we were young, we probably threw out some things that we wouldn't want anybody to know that we threw out.
I'll tell you a story.
Okay. Want
to hear a good story?
Yeah.
This has to do with myself, John Blackman, and Steve Savarese. This is no joke. We're talking one day, and John, now I will tell you what, John was always thinking about ways to get better.
Yeah.
Always.
Yeah.
As a coach, and how to be better, how to teach something, something to give his kids an advantage, you know, plays and defensive schemes.
Yeah.
And he had come up with stuff, and I was younger than him, and I'd sit there and listen to it, and I'm going, what in the world is he talking about? Okay, you know? And so one day, I threw some stuff at Steve, and he said, I don't know if I like that or I didn't like that. And I go, well, guys, me and Blackman, we just throw stuff at you. He says, one thing I love about John Blackman, it doesn't matter how many times I tell him no, He's always got an idea.
Yeah.
And sooner or later, and he goes, you know how many times we've taken parts of what he's come up with and stuck it into our defense? Because he was coaching secondary at the time.
Yeah.
And I never forgot that. That he made that. He said, I don't care. If you got ideas, means you care.
Yeah.
Means you care about yourself as a coach. You care about your players, your program. I never forgot that. I learned a lesson from John and Steve on that one.
Yeah.
You know? And I went, you know, that's what I needed. Because I would not share an idea because I think he's going to punt that one out the window. You know? I'd rather from then on, I just shared it.
Yeah.
And if he didn't like it, I don't like it. And that's fine. But that's made me better as a coach.
And that's
really what you were just got through talking about. And it is in everything that we do. It's not just football.
No.
I mean,
no.
It's in every organization.
Yep.
Every successful organization loves ideas, good, bad, or indifferent.
And you and I have both sat in a lot of history meetings.
Yeah.
And, boy, there's been a lot of good ideas that came out of those meetings. I can promise you that. And a lot of great teaching strategies. We'll be back with the Camp Gray segment coming up right here on the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report.
This segment of the Thompson Tractor Prep Sports Report brought to you by Camp Grace. Now back to Coach Rick Cleveland.
Camp Grace is located in West Mobile as the summer home of Camp Rapahope, Camp Mash, Camp Smile, and Camp Sugar Falls, as well as the home of Outback Mobile and is shared by many other community organizations throughout the Mobile area. Camp Grace is a place where God's love is bestowed freely upon others, the true definition of God's grace.
You know, Rick, we were talking about leadership and how those things work and how, you know, leaders of football teams, of an athletic director, principal of a school, a CFO, a CEO, a guy who runs his own business. However that works, you got to involve yourself sooner or later with people. And you've got to have most folks who are leading a company or leading a team or a school or a church or any organization, they've got to have certain characteristics about being a leader. One question I always wanted to know that, and as I've gotten older and I talk to other fellows and especially this time of year, when school has just come to an end, you know, this year's finished up. And then, of course, you know, we talked about your retirement last week and about retiring from school. And you look back and you talk to other guys that you've coached with or taught with or teachers that you just learned from that didn't – maybe they didn't coach. I had some great friends that taught in the classroom that taught me how to teach better, not only in the classroom, but on the athletic field. And one of the things that rang consistent through all of them is that if you want your students, if I want my athletes, or if I want all of the coaches under my staff, if I was an athletic director, if anybody that I was leading in a position of leadership, the things that I had to do was, number one, be fair and consistent, and considerate of other people in our organization. I had to do that. I also had to be able to know this, that if the coaches I coached with, the players I coached, the teachers I worked with, if they knew that I cared about them as an individual outside of the world that we work in or play ball in, we wrestle, play golf, play football, whatever it is. Whatever it is, if I care about them individually as a person and what goes on in their world, they're going to respect me and want to play for me and want to work for me better than they would if I were ruled like Attila the Hun.
Yeah.
You know, you can't, to me, you can get a lot of things done in a company by ruling with an iron fist and with fear, you know, making people fearful of you. You can get things done. There's no doubt. There is no doubt. But I also think that's kind of a short order thing. You know, I'm going to pump this. I'm going to get the breakfast out to you right now. But as soon as I get done, I'm leaving. You know, that kind of thing. I feel like if I could learn how to learn what you were talking about a minute ago, about a true leader is the one who cares about those people under him as an individual and love them for what's going on in their life. As much as you do how they perform as a coach, as a player, as a student, whether he made an A on that history exam or did he make a C. If he made a C, it was the very best he could do. I'm tickled pink.
Yeah.
I am tickled pink. And I think that's one thing that we lose sight of, because in our world today, wins and losses. All you hear, wins and losses.
Yeah.
How about those kids that have gone on to, and I ran into a young man the other day at Walmart. I couldn't believe I hadn't seen him in years. He's a state trooper. And I said, Michael, man, look at you. He said, Coach, thank you for everything. He goes, I got two kids. I live not far from you. I didn't even know.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's a state trooper. He is one of the most, to me, a state trooper, please, one of the most honored professions that there is.
Yeah.
They really are. I don't care what anybody says. People can say there's bad policemen, there's bad preachers, there's bad coaches.
Yeah.
You know, we can go all down the line on that deal. But for the most part, these guys go out there and put their life on the line every day for pennies.
Yep.
They do. And they do it because they love people. And I was looking at this kid, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, this just warmed my heart.
Yeah.
I was on cloud nine for about 3 days. And that was the whole thing, Rick, that just makes it all worthwhile.
Yeah. Yeah, the relationships that you have, it's a relationship business, coaching is.
Mm-hmm.
You're talking about, and I'm going to mention a person that's a friend of this show and is a friend of ours. I go in David Green's office, and he starts telling me about some of the great things about some of his people that work in that office, not just the attorneys.
Right.
It's the lady that greets you in the office when you walk in. It's the lady that's the bookkeeper. It's the lady that takes care of all of the human resource stuff that they need to take care of. And all he does is brag on these people. I mean, he just builds them up. And it reminds me of our mission statement on this show is to be a part of building coaches, players, and officials up, and not be a part of tearing them down. That's beautiful what you said, Mark, because when you find one of those players and you look at where he is in the world today, it just warms your heart beyond anything.
It does.
It's such a great thing when you get a note from a former player. I must have got over 200 notes from former players said, Coach, I saw where you retired. I just want you to know, yada, yada, yada. And that's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
That's exactly what it's about. Hey, I want to remind you that this afternoon at 4 o'clock, if you hadn't heard the Jolene Roxbury Variety Hour, you need to listen to it right here on FM Talk 106.5. If you missed it this afternoon, you can hear it 7 o'clock in the morning. And then right after this show is what I think is one of the best golf shows in the state of Alabama. When Randy Bergen and Bobby Hall and those guys come on and they start talking about everything, golf is one of their main focuses, but they talk about everything. They'll even talk about Auburn a little bit.
Good. Auburn won a national championship.
Hey, national champions in golf.
Isn't that right?
Hey, remember this. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, he is always with you. We'll see you here same place, same time next week. God bless.